You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Glory to God. Last week, we were talking to you about producing fruit. Do we got any fruity people in the room? Do we got anybody ready to produce some fruit? Are you ready to bear much fruit? There's areas that we can bear much fruit in. We talked about Jesus said in John 15 and 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you'll ask what you will. Then he talks about your fruit remaining. So fruit can be answered prayers. And then we talked about fruit, what we spent the time last week about fruit, bearing much fruit is the good works that God has prepared for you to do. And we said, because it's not going to happen here, we said statistics say that 40 to 50% of people in the body of Christ are the only ones that are functioning. And I said, it's like you having half of your body not working. And we all agreed that was unacceptable, right? Amen. We all agreed that half of your body, if it would quit, like if you could only have half of your heart work, if you could only have one lung work, you could only have one kidney, which would you pick? Well, I'll take the left one here. I'll take the right one here. I'll take the left one here. No, we don't want that. Do you want that? Anybody going to sign up for that? Well, then it's unacceptable for us as the body of believers to say that our body, the body of Christ, not just talking about the local church, but the body of Christ not functioning. That's like your little finger or your right hand say, I'm not doing anything. Just serve me. I'm going to sit here, you carry me, and you serve me. When it's perfectly capable of doing some things itself. When the body, the way that God made your physical body, he made it to function together. Every joint supplies, every part, you know, come on. This bone connected to that bone and all that stuff, right? Come on, are you ready to work? No, you're not. Hallelujah. Are you ready to give your function? Are you ready to do what God has asked you to do? I don't know what that is. I'm not going to be passing out pieces of paper and tell you what to do. I'm just saying whether it's here in the local church or in the body of Christ, you have a function. And you're never going to be at your highest place until you're doing your function. It's different for all of us, but we all need to be finding out what God asks us to do so that we can bear much fruit. Are you ready to bear much fruit? You ready to bear much fruit? And listen to me. Nobody can keep you from bearing fruit. Well, I'm just waiting for you to ask me to speak from the pulpit. I wouldn't wait if I were you. I just find something to put your hand to. I just find something to put your hand to. Whether I give you something to do or not, you're still required to do something in the body of Christ. Amen? So are you going to get after it? Ask, how are you going to get after it? Lord, what am I supposed to do? Y'all not going to make me preach this again, are you? Just ask the Lord what you're supposed to do and then get after it. Amen. And so today, though, we're going to talk about something I mentioned last time because it seems real important to the Lord as we're talking about bearing much fruit. Are y'all ready to bear much fruit? The other one we're going to talk about, so we're just going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. So the truth is, a lot of times when we look at this, we just look at the nine and then we go through them. And I'm not going to do that today, but I want to talk to you about the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit. I want to talk to you about if you understand what this fruit is for that you find in Galatians chapter 5. I want to give you three things that I want to talk about that I want to minister that the Lord reminded me of and what the fruit of the Spirit is for. We'll look eventually at the nine. But number one, the fruit of the Spirit actually gets rid of the works of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit actually gets rid of the works of the flesh. Remember, it lists all those works of the flesh, and then it said, but these are the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the answer to the works of the flesh. You do have to keep your body under, but if you don't add the fruit of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit pushing out the works of the flesh, then it's going to be very difficult for you, and all you're going to be doing is doing a works program. Everything in God starts in the realm of the Spirit, starts in the inner man, and then works outward. Work out your salvation. Doesn't mean you get to pick your salvation. That means salvation is from the inside, and it works out to the outside. Work out. Salvation is on the inside. It's your born-again spirit, and so is the fruit of the Spirit. It's on the inside of you, and it'll work out, and it'll get rid of the works of the flesh. Number two, having the fruit of the Spirit in your life is an operation of knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. It is a sign of your new nature. Just like last week, was it last week? We had water baptism. What is that? That's an outward evidence of an inward happening. The fruit of the Spirit, the nine fruit of the Spirit in manifestation in your life is a sign. We're all looking for signs and wonder, but wouldn't it be a sign and wonder if you were all fruity? Wouldn't it be something for the body of Christ to actually see the nine fruit in total manifestation in your life? Everybody's always, I've had people walk up to me and say, I operate in all nine gifts of the Spirit. And I want to say, oh, good for you. And really, you know, Pastor Mark, you're awful sassy today. Well, because you know what that's saying? It's not true. But number one, don't be so excited about something that God puts on you like a Christmas tree. It has nothing to do with you. The gifts of the Spirit have nothing to do with you. Nothing. Except that you yielded. That's all it has to do with you. It doesn't show that you're spiritual. It doesn't show that you're mature. It doesn't show anything except that you knew how to yield. And maybe nobody else was available. When you get used to the things of the Spirit, it better be all glory to God. It's a sure way not to be used anymore. And they're not yours. See, people say, well, you know, I have the gift of this. If it's the gift of the Spirit you're talking about, it's not your gift. Because you don't get to turn it on and turn it off. Because if you have the working of miracles in your life, you ought to go to Huntsville Hospital and empty it. But you don't have that. You can't turn it on and turn it off. But we're talking about today, a little sidetrack. What we're talking about today is something, though, that you have a whole lot of control over. And I think it would just blow the world away if all of us would get fruity all of a sudden in a good way. In other words, nine of the fruit of the Spirit just start popping out in our lives. And that's really what I want you to see. It is a sign of your new nature. It is a sign of who you are. It is a sign of who lives on the inside of you. It's an advertisement for the greater one who lives on the inside of you. Because even those nine that we're going to look at sometime, those things can't be produced by you. The nine fruit of the Spirit are not personality traits. Well, you're just a joyful person. Well, then you don't understand what the fruit is. Well, you're just more long-suffering than everybody else. I think if you just get in everybody's flesh, there's nobody long-suffering among us. If I'm in my flesh, I can cut you off in traffic. Not think a thing about it. I don't care who you are. I'll take your parking place. So I don't have to. But you ought to be glad. I'm glad you're not ruled by your flesh. And you ought to be glad that I'm not ruled. Pastor, you ought not say that. Oh, come on. It's the truth about every one of you in the flesh. It is not. So for you to say, I'm just long suffering. You're not that long suffering. It's a fruit of the Spirit, and we can all learn how to yield to it. It's a sign of your new nature. And all the fruit of the Spirit is a sign of who Father God is and who He wants to be to them. Number three, what I want to look at is these fruit then, in the same way, number three, will attract people to Him. If we have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, in great manifestation, it would attract unbelievers, those who are away from God. It will attract them to Him like being attracted to a fruit tree. Being attracted to a fruit tree. You just want it. I remember one time we were in Spain with Russ and Judy Joe, and we were driving somewhere, and we passed this apple orchard. Now, looking back, it may not have been good, but this just looks so good. So we just stopped and looked at it, and I decided that I was going to have one of these apples, and it was really good. And I was just jumping back over the fence, and I fell face planted, and I thought that was maybe a sign from God that I stole, so I asked for forgiveness and finished my apple. And so... but fruit trees, you know, if you've ever been around them, you just want to pick and eat. You just want to, and really, I think God wants to use us as a group of people that the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is so attractive, it draws people. So let's look at some of these things. Number one, it does get rid of the works of the flesh. If you produce fruit, it replaces the work of your flesh. You have to keep your body under. How many know Paul said, I crucify my flesh? How many know you? And he said, keep your body under. How many know there's something, the real you on the inside has to do that. But if you don't add this part to it, I think you're not getting all the benefit of what God has for you. So you can produce. So let's look at Galatians chapter number 5. Let's look at Galatians chapter number 5. Y'all ready to get fruity? Yes. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5. And fruity in a good way. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, if you walk in the Spirit. Okay, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does that mean? Well, see, I've heard people say this. Have you ever heard people say this? Well, they're so spiritually minded, they're no earthly good. I hate that saying. I hate it. Because that's inferring that if you're spiritual, that you're not any earthly. Let's just say it this way. Weird people stay weird if they don't get changed. Weird people sometimes just stay weird if they don't get real spiritual. And just because they go to church and they were weird and then they stay weird doesn't make being spiritual weird. In other words, what they're saying, though, some people are so spiritually minded that, I've usually heard men say it. Well, that means, a woman is so spiritually minded she won't do the dishes. Well, do them yourself. And so, but they're saying stuff like that. Then they can't participate in earthly things. They're so spiritually minded. Listen, if you're spiritually minded, you'll be every earthly good. So let's not confuse spirituality with weirdness. Or laziness, or using it as an excuse. It's as a man, if I say, I need to study the word and pray, and I go lock myself in the office, and I never come out, and I never engage with my wife, or I never engage with my daughter, that's not spirituality, because truthfully, if I was in praying and study, the Lord would poke me and say, you have a wife and you have a child, go do something. If I have responsibility. So see, if you're in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost is going to help you walk out on the earth. He's going to help you do things. So you can't ever get really spiritually minded and be no earthly good. Is that all cleared up? So weird people just stay weird unless they get spiritual. And then while they're spiritual, the Lord will correct their weirdness. Don't associate weirdness with spirituality. Am I clear? Is that as clear as can be? I get tired of hearing people say that. I know what they're trying to say. They're saying some people get so spiritual that they get weird. But really, if they're real spiritual, the weirdness will leave them. Amen. If you can't hold down a job because of your spirituality, you're weird. If you can't get along with anybody, because you're so spiritual that you know everything about, and you put yourself up here, that's weird. Don't anybody get mad at me right now. I'm trying to be a pastor to you and help you. Because sometimes in our circle of people, that spirit-filled area, sometimes people do get weird. But being real spiritual will make you be able to hold down a job. Being real spiritual will cause you to pay your bills. Being real spiritual will help you get along with your mama. You can't get along with anybody? Then I wonder how spiritual you really are. Well, I just have a prophet's personality. Oh, baloney. Double baloney in the year of double jubilee. As a spiritual person, you ought to be able to get along with folks. You ought to be able to interact with people. Ministers who can't get along with people, it's the craziest thing. I have notes. If you walk in the Spirit, what is walking in the Spirit? Well, walking in the Spirit's walking in the Word. Jesus said, my words, they're spirit and they're life. John the Revelator said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. What is that? I'm more aware of spiritual things than I was natural things. I was in the Spirit. How many of you know you ought to pray in the Holy Ghost? Pray. You ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost, speak in other tongues, so you can pray in the Holy Ghost. You can get in the Spirit in just like that. You can get in the Word just like that, and it'll put you in the Spirit. So when you walk in the Spirit, it's not I manifest the gifts of the Spirit, a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. It's when it says you are in the Spirit, doesn't mean you're manifesting the gifts of the Spirit, because see, that's as the Lord wills. Every one of us can walk in the Spirit. How often can you walk in the Spirit? All your waking moments, you should be able to walk in the Spirit. Sunday morning, walk in the Spirit. But when you leave, you can still walk. You can walk in the Spirit while you're getting lunch today. You can walk in the Spirit when you go to work tomorrow. Everybody say, walk in the Spirit.
Walk in the Spirit.
When you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the what?
Lust.
Well, unfortunately, your flesh still has lust. Your flesh did not get born again. And that's, I wish that would be different, but that's just the way it worked. Your flesh did not get born again. But if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of your flesh. And then it lists all the works of the flesh, and they're, you know, kind of nasty. And you look at them in King James, and you think, that doesn't apply to me. But if you don't understand them, I have a book called No Longer Shackled. You can get them, and I explain them in modern terminology of really what they are, like witchcraft. Witchcraft, you think, well, I've never played with a Ouija board, but witchcraft doesn't mean witchcraft the way you think witchcraft. It's pharmakia, and it means medicating. It means medicating to deal with your problems. There's a lot of people who don't think they're in witchcraft today who medicate. You can medicate with prescription medicine. You can medicate with food. You can medicate with shopping. You can medicate with watching TV. You can medicate with alcohol. You can you medicate, you put something else and don't deal. But see, what you got to do is Jesus is the healer of the broken heart. So when your flesh is producing pharmakia, or what the King James says is witchcraft, it's because something's broken and you need to get it fixed. And I can tell you this, that really if you study out the 9 fruit of the Spirit, one or more of them answer every work of the flesh. If you have pharmakia in your life, I mean, you can look at what will fix that? Joy. What will fix that? Peace. What will fix that? Long-suffering. See, if you look at the fruit, so that's what I'm talking about. So if I got something in my flesh that I don't like, yes, I need to put my physical body under. Yes, I need to crucify my flesh. But if I'll get something working on the inside, if I'll get my salvation in who I really am, if I'll walk in the Spirit, if I'll get in the Word and be a doer of it, if I'll worship the Lord, if I'll lift my hands and offer them as instruments of righteousness, if I'll think the thoughts of God, if I'll worship Him, if I'll pray in the Holy Ghost, it puts me in the realm of the Spirit. And what happens is fruit starts popping out. And when I get some joy start popping out on me, when I get some peace start popping out of me, that pharmakia or whatever it is, it just kind of falls off. Because there's no room for it. There's no room for it in my flesh anymore, because now I'm producing fruit. And the fruit just pushes off. It just pushes off. It gets rid of. See, it's not you just doing it by yourself. It's the Spirit of God, the DNA of God on the inside of you. When you were born again, you are created in His likeness and in His image. See, all those fruit are represent, because God is love. God is, he's never had a sad day in His life. And see, it's not dependent on happiness. He's full of joy. For the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. Peace. Come on, Jesus had so much peace, He said, I'm just going to leave mine with you. Getting ahead of myself. How do you get in the Spirit? What does it do? It causes the lust of your flesh to go away. Verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Like everybody that lives in the Spirit. Are you walking in the Spirit? All right. So what else will it do? It'll show forth our new nature. Apple seeds produce what? Dogs produce what? Dog, I want a puppy. Don't get me one. Oh, she's not in here. I want a puppy. No, okay. And yes, you, when you produced humans. But let's look at it this way. In the image of God, created he them. You were created in the likeness and the image of God. With the ability to produce what God produces. The fruit of the Spirit, the seed is on the inside of you to produce all nine on a very regular and consistent basis. And that's what we're going for. We're going for this. Why? Well, it is a sign of who you are. Apples produce apples. And God has produced us to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Second, you have a new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says you are a new creation. Everybody say it. I am. Born of God. Therefore, I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature. I have a new nature. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says this, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3:10. And put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we have a new nature, and even we're supposed to put it on. What is that new nature? Created in the likeness and the image of God. So the Holy Spirit and the seed of the Word of God will cause this fruit to begin to grow in you. And when you yield to the Holy Spirit and when you do the Word of God, this fruit will begin to produce. In the Word of God, all throughout it are these seeds. And as we put them into our soil, as we put them into good soil, it produces some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And that's true about returned, the fruit of answered prayers, the fruit of your faith. But it's also true of the fruit of the Spirit, the nine fruit of the Spirit that we see in Galatians. And so the Spirit of God wants to produce those things in our life. Number one, to get rid of the lust of your flesh. Come on, it makes it easier when you realize if I'm dealing with something, if I'm working on something, if I'll get full of the Word and I'll walk in the Spirit, there is a fruit that's going to be produced in me because of my salvation and who I am because of my new nature. In the past, our old nature caused us to sin and walk in death. And it's caused us to walk, couldn't really do anything about those works of the flesh, that lasciviousness, that fornication, that thumos, that anger that's lying dormant in so many people like a volcano. Cause you all know some of those people. You go out to dinner with them once and then you never want to go again because they're always yelling at the waiter and wait. It's never enough. It's never good enough. I mean, it's always, you never know with them. You never know where you're at and then suddenly there's going to be an eruption and you're embarrassed and you want to run away. Come on. Somebody says something to them just a little off. And then there's a volcano waiting to go off. And they just say, that's just my personality. That's, as a born again one, that is not your personality. Even if it is part of the works of your flesh, you need to get some peace. You need to get some joy. You need to get some long suffering. Well, I just have a short fuse. Well, the Spirit of God will give you a really long fuse. Aren't you glad God's long-suffering? Seriously, are you glad God's long-suffering? Aren't you glad you're not a one-and-done situation? Because we wouldn't be in this room, none of us, because we'd be one and done. You know that old saying, do me wrong the first time, shame on you. Do me wrong the second time. Shame on me. Aren't you glad that is not written anywhere in heaven? It's not in the throne room. Because there'd be a lot of shame on. I mean, we'd just be done. We'd just be done. He's long-suffering. That's who he is. Doesn't say forever. It just says long. He's longer suffering than you and I would be, but we can be that way. We're going to get into some of that. Hallelujah. You all look like you're excited to get into it. Hallelujah. But we're going to. Hallelujah. So we're to imitate him. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Be their followers or imitators of God as dear children. And then you read down through that, and I'm not going to take time. It says walk in love. It says fornication, uncleanness, covetous. Don't let that be among us, neither filthiness, all that kind of stuff. And then verse 8 says, for sometimes you were in darkness, but now are you you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. See it, the light and the life of the love all goes together. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit and everything in there. So there's either the fruit of the Spirit or there's the works of the flesh. Because you're born again, you've got a new nature. Be an imitator of God. Be an imitator of Jesus. Conduct yourself the way he conducted himself. I should conduct myself the way he conducted himself when he was on the earth. How can I do that? Even as a born-again, spirit-filled one, I cannot do that in the flesh. I cannot do that in the flesh. I have tried. I have tried. I have tried. I can tell you I have tried. But when I get out of me and get in him, and when I get out of what I can do and start walking in the Spirit, people talk to me all the time and say, man, you and Pastor Rhonda are long suffering. Pastor Mark is not long suffering. Pastor Mark is passive aggressive. The old one. The dead dude. The one who walks in the Spirit is very long suffering. Why? Because my daddy made me that way. You see, we've got to quit identifying with ourself and what we can do. You can't do it in the flesh. You can't be joyful all the time in your flesh. You can be happier or sad, but joy, that's not an emotion. It's a fruit. Peaceful? Well, I need everything to be calm and peaceful around me so I can stay at peace. You have no clue what peace is. Peace is not determined based on what's going on around you. Peace is an inner knowing and walking in the peace that Jesus gave you. And it surpasses and then becomes a weapon. Peace be still, that you can speak into the storms. It's a fruit. So many of these things are many different things. But the truth of the matter is, where do you get them all? They're from the realm of the Spirit. And they're in you. The seed is in you. It is a sign of your new nature. And see, the problem is, if we don't get these 9 things producing in our life, there's no sign. People are looking for signs and wonders, and I'm believing for them. I'm expecting them. People get up out of wheelchairs, miraculous things to happen, but it would be just as much a sign if you would be manifesting all 9 fruit of the Spirit. And in most cases, maybe even more of a sign. Don't shout me down. Sounds like work. It's not work. Pastor Mark, I've tried this. Quit trying, do. Just put on the new man. You're created in him in holiness and righteousness, and that seed is in you, and when you walk in the Spirit, it'll start producing. And yes, it may, especially depending on different areas, one may be easier than another, but all 9 need to be manifested in our lives as a sign. Amen? Can I get an amen? Can I get a better amen? Hallelujah. All right, number 3, and this is really what I want to start camping. The fruit of the Spirit will attract people to the Lord. And I want to prove that just by, I want to just look at each, we're going to start looking at each one. So let's look at Galatians chapter 5. We'll read them to you. You know them. Verse 5, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. So it's fruit of walking in the Spirit. It's fruit of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. In other words, it's a manifestation of who he is. The fruit of the Spirit is a manifestation of the nature of God. The fruit of the Spirit is a manifestation of the nature of God. If you want to see God, if you want to tell an unbeliever, a backslidden one, this is God, then what do we show him? Show that person. We can show them the fruit. because it is a manifestation of the nature of God. These nine things are part of God's DNA. It's a part of his makeup. And if we can manifest, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So what do I know? That Jesus, how many believe all nine fruit of the Spirit was in Jesus' life and ministry? Amen? Why? Because this is who the Father is. And so we know this one, God is love. He doesn't just love, God is agape. Love is patient. He didn't ask you to be patient. He just said, love is patient. All right, let's look at some of this. All right, let's look at this. Because I really believe, and this is what the Lord gave me. Right now, he is so interested in my life, and I think in your life, and what's going on around. Because another thing about fruit, it's not just the fruit of you doing good works. It's not about the fruit, just the fruit of the Spirit. But he also calls the lost and backslidden fruit. So he's using fruit to get the fruit. I know that sounds silly, but he's going to use fruit in your life. It's easier to say something if you are something. My dad's gone on to be with the Lord, and I used to say in front of him, so he's not going to be mad if he's looking over today. But my daddy, when I was growing up, my dad, he was a great guy, great provider. But there was a little stretch in there, a long stretch. There was a stretch in there when I was growing up that this is what I heard. Don't do what I do, do what I say. Well, how many know for a teenager, that's just the stupidest thing? And it makes more sense, do what I do. And so that's the whole point of the fruit. This is who I am. And if I'm full of the fruit of God, then what I say has weight. If I'm full of the fruit of God, if I'm full of the fruit of the Spirit, what I say has weight. You will be a better parent if you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and they see that. Therefore, when you give them words, your words mean something to them. We're not just coming to church on Sunday morning to put in our time. We're coming to church so that we can learn the Word of God, so that we can be who God has ordained us to be. So let's look at this first one, because everybody knows this one. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So the first one is love. So the first one is agape. What does agape mean? It means caring for and seeking the highest good for another person without motive or gain. Agape, caring for and seeking the highest good for another person without motive or gain. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You all know this one if you're from around these parts, meaning this church, you know this, and if you've been through Bible Institute, but 1 Corinthians 13, for charity, agape suffers long. It's kind. Agape envies not. Agape vaunts not itself up. It is not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Beareth all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Agape never fails. Agape, the God kind of love. 1 John 4:16, the Bible says God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. So this is my question. Our question for me, my question for you. I ask myself these questions. Do I offer agape to all that I meet? When someone runs into me, do they run into the agape of God? Now see, yet you all might think, well, that's a good question. Let's wonder, does Pastor Mark represent agape? But I want you to take the focus off of Pastor. Pastor Mark needs to deal with Pastor Mark. You need to deal with you. So if your first question in a sermon like this is, man, I'm going to get them this tape. I'm going to download this, and I'm going to send it. Man, they need this. I don't want you to be thinking about nobody but you right now. And once you and I get our stuff together, then we'll start forwarding messages. Hallelujah. When someone runs into you, do they run into agape? All the time. All the time. When they run into you, when they run into you as a tree planted by the rivers of living water, are you producing agape so that someone runs into you, they run into the agape of God? I heard my spiritual father say, everybody doesn't understand tongues, everybody doesn't understand prosperity or however he said it, or healing, but he said, everybody understands love, and it stuck with me. It so stuck with me because the truth of the matter is, love never fails. And as a fruit of the Spirit, if you and I are full of and produce love, it will never fail. If you produce love in your marriage, if you produce love with your children, if you produce love where you're at work, if you have that fruit of the Spirit in you and abounding in you, and people run into that, they run into the love of God. Another one, just real quick. Joy, that's the word chara. The exaltation of spirit that comes from the presence of God, a spirit-given expression that flourishes best when times are strenuous, daunting, and tough. The fruit of the Spirit of joy is talking about, and see joy, I'm not just joy. Remember when Paul came up out of the ship? In the belly of the ship, they're all going to die. And he said, cheer up. What is that? That's joy. In the middle of a storm. Joy is not happiness. Happiness is a feeling that depends on circumstances. Jesus rejoiced with joy right before he went to the cross. When people run into me, when they run into you, are they running into joy? In other words, are you the go-to girl or the go-to guy at church when everything is messed up? Can they come into your cubicle? Can they come into your office and know they're going to leave change because you are full of joy, even though you're going through the same stuff they're going through? Peace. Peace. What's peace? Like shalom, it expresses the idea of wholeness, completeness, or tranquility on the soul. It is not affected by circumstances or outward pressure. Order in a place of chaos. A calm and an inner stability that results in conduct of a peaceful manner in trauma. Jesus said in John 14, 27, peace, my peace, I leave with you. Not as the world gives. His peace. If you keep your mind stayed on him, he will keep you in perfect peace. Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So when someone runs into you, my question is, when they run into you and I, no matter what's going on in the White House, no matter what's going on in the State House, no matter what's going on in your house, no matter what's going on wherever you are, when they run into you, do they run into peace? No matter what's going on in the neighborhood, no matter what's going on in the family, when they run into you, is there a fruit of peace in your life? You see, you can't produce that on your own. Because some people, we have this picture of when everything's good, then the peace fruit pops out. But the peace fruit needs to pop out when everything's bad. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Listen. I got so much to say along these lines that obviously we're just getting started, but it is something that goes along with reaching the harvest. It is something, listen to me, you can't change your life without God. You can't change, you can't have these things in your life without being born again. And we're in a season at Cornerstone Word of Life Church when the Lord has challenged me to believe God for the lost and the backslidden. He is challenging us to go out from these walls and be effective as ministers of reconciliation. just like the woman at the well, she came to them and said, come meet a man. I'm telling you, we can live this abundant life. We can live this fruitful life. We can live it where it's not us doing it, but it's God. Amen.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWALMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.